a series on our text here and our song here, Glorious Day. Hope you enjoy that song. Once you get it in your head, you can't get it out, and you'll just sing it all day, and it's a wonderful song, and it's a joy to be a part of what God's doing. Do you know Jesus came to earth a long time ago? Is that right? He came to earth, and it's prophesied in the Old Testament. I want everybody to turn with me to Matthew 1, 20 to 23. The verses you see on the screen down at the bottom is the verses I want you to be turning to. We're going to turn to a lot of scriptures this morning. So get your Bibles out and your thumbs ready. And we're going to be going to different scriptures, but I'm going to try to give you some time. When the new slide comes up and you see the text in purple, take the time to find that, because that's where we're going next. In Isaiah 7:14, the prophet Isaiah prophesied 700 years ago before Jesus was born, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." We're going to have a baby born by a virgin. Impossible. And it's going to be a son, and his name's going to be Emmanuel. Is that pretty clear? 700 years. In Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us is born a child, and a son is given, and the government is going to be a ruler, a king shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, in its order to establish with judgment and justice henceforth forever." And we have a Savior that's prophesied in the Old Testament. He said, "A Savior's coming." I want you to know, He came. He came. Matthew, you're all there. Matthew 1, 20. Matthew 1, verse 20. Look at it. Everybody there. We're there. It says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." Joseph. "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done," here it is, "that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord of the Lord by the prophet, saying," it's Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." Then he interprets it, "which being interpreted is God with us," God in flesh. He was prophesied that he was coming 700 years before he came in Bethlehem. He came. Is that right? This morning is, he's coming again. He came the first time. It's wonderful there. And it's exciting to see that. And we're going to celebrate that this morning. And he came. And it is wonderful to realize that this is what it's all about. In 1 Timothy, you can start turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4, 15. In 1 Timothy 3, 16, it says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." That means he's living. He's living. And it says, "God was manifest in the flesh." He came. He really lived. He really lived. He really loved. He really did miracles. He really preached. He really died. And it says, then it says, "justified in the Spirit." He died. He was dying. And we preached on that last week. Put up the next slide. He died. He really lived. He really died. And then it says, "seen of angels." He arose from the grave. He is rising. And we had that last week. And he justifies freely. And then it says, "preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up the glory." He ascended. He was living, he was buried, and he arose. And he ascended. And that's where we are. I want you to know, he's coming back. Yeah. Did you catch that? He's coming. One day he's coming. And that's what it's all about. And that's all through the Bible. I'm going to read a bunch of passages this morning. I want you to should just start realizing, he's really coming back. He's really coming back. And I want you to expect him to come back like at 12:01. You know, I want you to expect him to come back before lunch. I've been thinking about this. Is it hard to keep it in your mind that he's really coming back? Today it is. It is. We have all kinds of things going on, and we get all focused and caught up in stuff, and we can go for hours, even days, even weeks without thinking, what? Jesus coming. He might come today. And that's the whole issue here. John, come and read us here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 15.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, for it is such a privilege because this is my favorite passage of Scripture, and for obvious reasons, and maybe for some of you as well. I don't know. But Paul's addressing the church in Thessalonica, and I don't know if somebody said, hey, what about my dead loved one? I don't know. But Paul is addressing this and comforting them. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 14. Would you please stand out of respect for God's word? I do pray every day as we'll go through this passage here. Every morning, I ask that the Lord, I want to hear that trumpet.
Amen.
And not because, maybe for selfish reasons, because I say, yes, Lord, I want you to return because you know why. But I have in-laws that wouldn't be going. I have a best friend that would not be going. And so they need to go. So I need to get it in gear.
Amen.
Okay, here we are. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I'm sorry, this is very difficult for me to read. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Sorry, I can't see it. For the Lord himself should descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Amen.
To meet the Lord in the air, and so should we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'll let you know what verses as we can go along. We'll be skipping around. Right now, we'll do verses 1 and 2. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Verse 6. Therefore let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 8. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. In verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. You may be seated.
Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. Jesus is coming. Paul said it straight here, declared it in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, that he is coming back again. And we're going to see our dead loved ones again. That's what it says. And he is coming back. And it's so important there. John 14, 1 to 3. Everybody start turning there. John 14, 1 to 3. It is so important that we realize, I'm coming back. Who Who in our history of our wars said, "I shall return"? Who said that? Douglas MacArthur. You read that in your textbooks. He said it in the Philippines on the March the 11th, 1942, in the midst of World War II. And he says, "I got to get out of here, but I'm coming back. I shall return, and we're going to win this war." And on October the 20th, 1944, Douglas MacArthur entered into the Philippines and won the war and delivered him. Amen? That's a good story. But he said, "I shall return." And I want you to know, our Jesus said, "I'm going to come back. I've been here. I was for all eternity. Then I took on a body and came here and died for the sins of the world. I was buried. I rose again. I ascended. And I'm up in heaven. And I'm coming back." And that is so, so important that we realize that, wow, so many things of, "I'm coming back." It's so neat when Krissa comes back for holidays. You know, she's coming back. I don't know if that's good or bad, but she's coming back. And today's her birthday. And she's our daughter, and she comes, and it's kind of neat, and to see that happen, that you come back. The Kupferschmidts have a daughter and a son-in-law that took a year off of college, and Dr. Anderson at the college there took a year off of the ABC, and when they came back, he said, "We're coming back." And they came back, and Dr. Anderson said, "There's never been a greater couple coming back serving God. You know, I'm leaving for a little bit, but I'm coming back." And they came back, and that's exciting. You have stories in your own life. I want you to know we have a Lord that really lived, that really died, that really arose, and He's really coming back. And that's what we're here for this morning, just to solidify this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, it says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many," He came first, "and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He's not coming the second time to save us. He's not going to bear our sins anymore. He's not going to deal with sins. Hebrews 9:28. He's come to save us. He's come to take us to heaven. And that's tremendous. Everybody, John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Everybody. Teenagers, I want everybody. This is not me talking. This is not the preacher getting up here and saying something. This is the truth. This is John. John says it. He's quoting Jesus here. It says Jesus talking. John chapter 14, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled." He just told him, "I'm leaving. Now, don't let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, the Father. Believe also in me, the Son. In my Father's house," heaven, "there are many mansions," many rooms. "If it were not so, I would have told you." Is that right? It is so. "I go," that's what He's doing right now, "to prepare a place for..." I go to prepare a place for who?
Me.
I go to prepare a place for me. Let's all say me. That's wild. And it says, "And if I go," and He did, "I prepare a place for you, I will," what? "Come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye, we, you, I, me shall be also." Amen? That's the promise we have from Jesus, quoted by John. That is so important. Acts chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. The disciples are watching Jesus ascend, and the angels appear, and it says, "This same Jesus, which you have saw go up into heaven, is coming back." The same one is coming back in like manner as you have seen Him go up into heaven. In Revelation chapter 22, the last two verses in the Bible. Is that right? And it's the last thing He says. "I'm coming back." And that's the thrill of it all, to realize, "I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming for my people." And that is so, so important that we realize that. Wow, that is tremendous there. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And we realize that, you know, it says, you be ready. You be ever ready. I want you, every time you see a battery, I want you to, from now on, to think about Jesus coming. Every time you see a battery, because we need to live ever ready. I don't know if that's the way you spell it, but that's the way the ever ready people spell it. And every time you see a battery in a store, teenagers, young adults, everybody, and when you see a battery, think about Jesus is coming. Because it says, be ever ready. Live ever ready. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. I trust you're there. Matthew 24, 44. It says, therefore, be ye also ready for as such an hour as ye think not. You're not going to be ready for it. The Son of Man cometh. Verse 46. Blessed is he, blessed is that servant to whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, looking, expecting, being ready. I trust you're ready for him to come, because that is so, so important, to live ever ready for his coming, his presence. And that's a command there, to be that way, and not to, you know, he's already said, I'm coming. Now you be ready. Now, how do we be ready? That's what I ask myself. How do we be ready? Number one, you watch. You watch. You be aware. You expect it. You delight in it. You long for it. You love it. You know, you stay awake. You stay focused, motivated, concentrating, devoted. That's hard. Matthew 24, verse 44. Very important here. Verse 42. Verse 42, it says, watch therefore. Everybody look at it. The word watch is there. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. We always think, when is he coming? Next Sunday, I'm preaching on that. When is he coming? Next Sunday, I'm preaching on the last four chapters of the book of Revelation, 19, 20, 21, and 22. Start reading them this week. In your reading in the bulletin, they're there. Revelation 19, 20, and 21, and 22. That's how it all ends. And we're going to go all the way through it. We're going to start from the tribulation, the coming of Christ, and go all the way to heaven. Go all the way through the kingdom, the millennium, and talk about that. Is that neat? He's coming, folks, and this is first thing we should do, caught up in watching, and that is being devoted, expectant, focused on it. Watch! Watch with me! Pray with me! Stay awake! Don't sleep! Can we fall asleep pretty quick? Man, we can. We're prone. Did the disciples of Jesus fall asleep? They did. They did. When you fall asleep, don't kick yourself too badly. If you fall asleep in church, one lady, she was just old, and she took her every effort to get here, and by the time she got here, she fell asleep every Sunday. Let me try and remember her name. Wava Rodman. She'd sit right back there, and she'd fall asleep every service. She said, I told her, what better place to sleep? Now, the Lord tells us to wake up all the time. Before we can wake up, we fall asleep. You're going to fall asleep spiritually. You're going to slow down spiritually. You're going to cool off spiritually. It's called revival. You can't have revival unless you fall asleep. I don't say, it's all go to sleep. No, I'm not saying that. We naturally do that. We naturally cool off. We naturally get discouraged. We're weak. Our flesh is weak. But that's when we wake up. And he says, keep watch. And if you're watching all night, do you have to work at it? You know, driving home from college, away hours at night, and you have to, you know, you turn the radio on the worst music you can find, roll the windows down. Is that right? You ever did that? Yeah. you try your best. You know, keep awake. You got to stay awake. Mark chapter 13. I trust you there. Mark chapter 13. Remember all the verses that you see pop up we're going to next. Mark chapter 13, verse 32, it says, but of the day and that hour knoweth how many people? No man. If someone says the Lord is coming a certain day, you are not to believe them. Is that right? That makes them a false prophet, a false teacher. It says, no, not the angels which are in heaven. Catch this, this is a heavy statement. Neither the Son, Jesus doesn't even know. But the Father, He's the only one. Take heed. So you don't know when He's coming. You don't know the day or the hour. Now we should expect Him to come in a season. Maybe He'll come this week. Maybe He'll come this month. Is that right? We should be thinking about that. We don't know the day or the hour, but we should be anticipating seasons. I'm going to talk about that next week, when Jesus possibly could come. And it says, take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. Watch. Keep at it. And he commanded the porter to watch. Verse 35. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you what? Wow. Not watching. For, and what I say unto you all, watch. Stay awake. Don't get distracted. Watch. Secondly, we need to wait. How many of you like to wait? We in America hate waiting, okay? But He told us to wait. Now that's just not sitting. Waiting is working. Waiting, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, everybody. Keep up on that. Waiting is serving, sacrificing, ministering, giving, helping, praying, trusting. That's waiting. First Corinthians 15:58, it says, it's a rapture text, a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. It says, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep at it. Watch, wait, work. You know, keep at it. Keep at it. Serve, sacrifice, minister. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing, that's His coming, and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season when it's normal, out of season where it's not normal. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and all doctrine. You know, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instructions. Wait! Is that right? Stay busy! Keep watch! Be alert! Be expectant! Thirdly, is washed without spot. Washed. Turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 12. As you're turning there, 1 Timothy 6, verse 14 says, that thou keep His commandments without spot, that you keep them all unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay clean. Avoid sin. Resist sin. Stay washed. Titus chapter 2 verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. That's the coming of the Lord. And the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's coming. And we are to be washed. We are to be waiting, working. We are to be watching. And it's so important. Lastly, we are to be awarded. Is God going to award you for watching and being ready for His coming? That's a command. It's beautiful. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. You're very close there already. In Revelation 22, verse 12, it says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. Is God going to award you for your faithfulness, for your obedience, for your efforts to service? Is He watching and knowing what's going on? He is. So we are to be watching. We are to be waiting, working. We are to be washed. We are to be spotless, doing right. Because we're going to be awarded in heaven by God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I trust you there. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, my calling. Hope you know your calling. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that time. And not only me only, but unto all them also that love His, what? Appearing. Man, God's going to reward us. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. It says, Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Verse 12, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. In the tribulation, in the millennial kingdom, for your service, to the amount of service and sacrifice and surrender you did in obedience, you're going to be serving God in the millennium somehow, and He's going to make some the pillars, and He's going to make some great and some that haven't done so good. We're all going to be there. I want you to know, you'd wish you had done more. Because how you serve here, how you sacrifice here, how you surrender here will be equaled to your qualification of ministering in the millennium. Wow. That's why we do it. That's why I live ever ready. That's why I'm there. Everybody turn to 1 John 2:28. 1 John 2:28. This is the verse I wanted to get to in the whole text, because this is where we are for Christians. 1 John 2:28, you need to have this written somewhere in your Bible. You know, one day is coming, and I need to live ever ready. I need to be watching. I need to be waiting, alert, working, serving. I need to be washed. I need to cleanse my life, forget forgiveness, get the blood covering my issues, claim forgiveness, because one day I'm going to be awarded for my service, my sacrifice, my humbleness before God. 1 John 2:28, let's all read it together. 1 John 2:28, and now, read it, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Is that heavy? And it says, and now, not in the future, and now, little children, aren't you glad you're part of the family of God? Amen. You're God's kids. Does He love His kids? Does He lead His kids? Does He help His kids? Is He with His kids? Does He believe in His kids? Don't you ever forget that. And it says, and now little children, abide in Him. Stay close. Follow close. Obey close. Follow, abide in Him. Live by Him. Empowered by Him. Abide in Him. That when He appears, He's coming, He's coming. He's when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed, because we've been watching, waiting, washed, and ready for rewards. Is that right? Not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Are there going to be tears at this judgment? This is the judgment seat of Christ. Are there going to be tears? I do believe there are. There will be some that are awarded greatly, and then there are some that will suffer loss. They won't lose their salvation. And it says, folks, to the area, to the level that you sacrifice and surrender and serve and care and help and give and love and bless. Is that right? That's why we're here. You're going to be rewarded in heaven. And do you know every sin that you commit and confess and forsake, you're forgiven of, and it will never be remembered again?
Amen.
Now everybody should shout, you know. You should do twirly-whirlies on that one. You know, because if we commit a sin and we forsake it and forgive and confess it and get forgiveness of it, we're not going to be held accountable for it in heaven, because it's under the blood. It's wonderful. And it's something. You have confidence. I'm forgiven. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of sin, but I'm forgiven. And as long as Jesus' blood covers it, I'm forgiven, and that's confidence. And then to not be ashamed that I'm trying my best to live a witness. Now you got to live your regular life. Is that right? You live your regular life. but just take Jesus with you everywhere you go. Is that right? Go take Jesus to school with you. Take Jesus to work with you. Take Jesus to Martin's with you. Is that right? Just take Jesus with you so that you can just live a normal life. It's not hard. It's just normal. Just like if you're a Cubs fan. Any Cubs fan? Okay, Cubs fan have been diehards for 1,000 years of losers, and now they're a winner. Okay, but they stayed true. Is that right? I want you to know, it should be simple. It should be you're a Jesus fan. You're a Jesus person. You're a Jesus follower. You're abiding in Him. He's your life. Just take Him with you to school. Take Him with you to work. Take Him with you to playing golf. Take Him with you whatever. Is that right? And just not be ashamed. When you sin, confess it. He forgives it. Huh? That's why confession is so wonderful, so beautiful, and should be done 100 times a day. And you have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Christian, this is for you. He's coming. You know, I enjoyed my dad coming home when he was bringing me Dairy Queen. I didn't enjoy my dad coming home when I was going to get a spanking. My mom would say, hey, this, when your dad comes home, you're going to get a spanking. That made me love my dad so much. Dad, please have a wreck someplace and never come home, you know. And that's God. God is our Father, and He wants to love on us. And He's already designed a plan where you can be forgiven. And the things you should be doing that you don't, and the things you have done that you shouldn't. And you just keep close accounts of Him and let Him guide you and convict you and correct you and lead you and follow. And you can have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming, because He's coming back. Amen. Woo! Christian, wake up. Catch this beautiful truth of being confident and not ashamed, huh? We should all have that. Oh, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. No, I don't. But can He forgive it? Preacher, you don't know, I've wasted this, and I should have done this, and I've not done this, and I should have done this. I don't care. If you make it right with God, you can have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Keep short accounts with God. Is that right? That's so important. And then learn from it and do something about it. Christian, be excited about that. I have one other point. Sad point here. It's called wrath. It's the last one. It's for people that are not ready. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. These are people that are not ready. People with a phony faith end up in a phony heaven called hell. Now think about that. That's heavy. You know what this is. This is Matthew 7, verse 21. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, that believes it, that lives it, that does it, the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, O Lord, my Lord. Very religious. Have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? This is a sad, sad verse. Verse 23. And then will I, this is Jesus, profess unto them, I never, what? Knew you. I never, you know, it wasn't that he lost something. He never knew him. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Do you know the worst person in the world is a person that thinks they're religious and good enough to go to heaven? I'm not that bad, preacher. I know a lot of people worse than me. Yeah, you do. But you have to be a saved person, genuinely saved, a person that has God abiding them, the Word of God coming alive, prayers start being meaningful, that you notice change in your life, old things are passing away, new things are coming, you just realize God's in me. And it's just not something you say on Sunday, and it doesn't last till Sunday afternoon. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I'm a religious person. Do the devils believe in God? Yeah, they know He exists, but they don't submit to Him. They don't follow Him. They don't obey Him. They know it, but they don't have it in their heart. They don't have it in their lives. And these people knew how to talk, very religious talk. I'm very concerned that there's good people that have never been saved. And they are religious, but they've never been born again. And they're not ready. And instead of receiving God's love and righteousness and forgiveness, they receive His justice and wrath. Sad. And these people have a phony faith, and they're thinking they're on their way to a heaven, but it's a phony heaven, and they're going to end up in hell, and they're going to be shocked. And I don't want any of you to be that. You need to know of a time when you asked Jesus to save your sinful soul and that you committed your life to Him and He came in and He started to change. You're not perfect, but He started to change you and give you an appetite for God stuff and Bible stuff and praying stuff and doing right and being around right people. And when you're not doing those things, you're being convicted. That's how you know you're saved. I trust you know you're saved, because then you're ready. And then get to a place in your growth of your Christian walk where you be confident, not ashamed. Huh? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Live ever ready. Christian, live so that you can confidently and unashamedly stand before God because you kept short accounts, you confessed your sins, you learned from them, and you started trying to live selflessly and serving and caring and helping and loving and doing right. How many Christians here this morning say, "Preacher, I needed this message. I needed this message to live ever ready so I can be confident and not ashamed at His coming. I needed this message." Can I hear it? See your hand? Amen. Let it change you. He's coming. He is. He may come today. Live ever ready. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. "Preacher, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I'm ready. And man, I don't want to receive His wrath. No way. Pray for me. I just want to pray for you. I will not embarrass you. Preacher, I'm not sure if I'm ready. Pray for me. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? Just raise your hand simply and let me pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm ready. I'm not terribly bad, but I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I really believe. Pray for me. Put your hand up. Let me pray with you. I will not embarrass you. Main floor, side wings, balcony. So important. Christian, to stand before God with confidence and unashamed because you dealt with issues here, learned from them, and served God just naturally, normally. Do it. Be different today because one day He's coming. Maybe today. Live ever ready.